You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
Twyman, to my brothers in the ministry, to the officers of our great church, and to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, it's good to be here. I first want to thank and acknowledge our pastor for giving me this opportunity to stand behind the sacred desk that God has called him to serve. I dare not take it lightly because there are plenty of other preachers he could have asked, but we thank God that he asked us. Amen. Amen. Bless you, Macedonia. We have so much to celebrate and so much to be grateful for. God has been good to us. Amen. You just don't understand that most churches don't make it 100 days, much less 100 years. Amen. Amen. And it is due to having great leadership, men who are not afraid of sharing the gospel and rightly dividing God's word. Amen. And we have such a man. I don't want to strain your patience. There is a word located in the 119th number of Psalms. The 119th number of Psalms, and we want to lift up verses 25 through 32. The 119th number of Psalms, and I will be reading from the New King James Version. Amen. The 119th number of Psalms, beginning at verse 25. And it reads, "My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. I have declared my ways and you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts. So shall I meditate on your wonderful works. My soul melts with heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove from me the way of lying and grant me your law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me. I cling to your testimony. O Lord, do not put me to shame. I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart." And just for a few moments, I want us to consider the thought, walking through the doors of life. Walking through the doors of life. Everyone under the sound of my voice has walked through some doors. The fact of the matter is that when we cross over to a new year, we walk through the newness of not only this year, but all the possibility that it brings. There are some doors that we have encountered that presented some opportunities for us. And there have been some doors that have been slammed in our faces. Everyone under the sound of my voice has had some experiences walking through some doors. We realize that there are all types of doors. There are some doors that are made of glass, that are transparent, and we can see through the door, and it helps us to know what we can expect. There are some other doors that are made out of wood or metal where we cannot see through the door and we don't know what to expect and we don't know what lies on the other side of the door. I say to us that all of us have had some experiences walking through some doors. There are some doors that we have walked through that have brought us joy, happiness, peace, and contentment. But then there have been some other doors that we have walked through that have had some heartache and some pain, some restless nights, some worry, some strain, some grief. I tell you that all of us have had some experiences walking through some doors. If you don't hear me say anything else this morning, we ask that you will wake up right now and hear this. No matter what is behind any door that we encounter in this life, no matter what's on the other side, we have the blessed assurance of knowing that God will be with us and his word will empower us. Do I have a witness? The 119th number of Psalms is a very unique psalm. It's a very distinctive psalm. It is the largest chapter in the Bible. The 119th number of Psalms is saturated with praise, prayer, and professions of obedience. When we read the 119th number of Psalms, we can't help but to notice its very large theme. The theme of this psalm places an emphasis on magnifying the word of the Lord. Do I have a witness? The 119th number of Psalms is broken up into 22 sections, and these 22 sections are all related and highlighted by the Hebrew alphabet. Amen. And each section represents a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Specifically, more specifically this morning, in our text this morning, The fourth letter of the Hebrew alphabet is Dalet. Dalet. And Dalet it not only represents the letter D in the Hebrew alphabet, but it also, when we look further, is defined as being weak or needy. Anybody ever been weak or having lowliness of mind? Dela also means door. And again, there are some doors that you and I will approach throughout this year that we don't know what is awaiting for us on the other side of that door. But we, again, have the blessed assurance of knowing that God is with us. Yeah, so go ahead and walk on through your door. However, you know, it's interesting, Pastor, that this psalmist is giving us a prescription on how to walk through life's door. All throughout this psalm, you'll notice the difference that the psalmist is revealing his condition, but at the same time, he also shares with us how to use God and how God's word can address our conditions. Yeah, you can't make it through this life without his word. So throughout these verses, we see in every situation that the psalmist finds himself, every state of mind that he is in, he clings, he moves toward the word of God. Let me tell you something, that when everything that happens in this life, when the storms come raging in your life, turn to the word of God. There is no other resource that we have. God has given us his word. Don't you know that this word is inspired, meaning that it is God-breathed. And it's for our edification. It's for us to grow and to know that without a shadow of doubt that God loves us. Yeah, it's something about God's word. In these eight verses, you know, the psalmist identifies God's word in some very unique ways. He describes God's word as, he says, your word. And he says that twice. He says, your statutes, your precepts, your law, your judgment, your testimonies, and your commandments. And as we will see in this text, the psalmist used some personal pronouns. He says, My and we. And it means to say to us, Pastor, this psalm is very personal. It's of a very personal nature. And you know, if you attend Bible study, we have a homework assignment, don't we? Where our pastor told us that we should be able to sit down and write our own psalm. And how tragic it would be to write your own psalm if you don't include the word of God. My brothers and sisters, no matter what life presents to us and what happens to us personally, we can declare with a shadow of doubt that we can have confidence in walking through the doors of life. Listen, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, and you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but here's the good news. God knows. And since God knows, that means I can have confidence in whatever comes my way. I can handle it. You can handle it. So let's take a look. Let's take a look at verse 25. In verse 25, the psalmist starts out by saying that my soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. You see, the psalmist is expressing a lowliness of mind. He's expressing a near-death experience, something that has occurred in his life that has caused him to be depressed and to be spiritually destitute. So the psalmist identifies that his soul, he's really speaking to the most inner parts of his being, that he is at a lowly point in his life, and he's ready to throw in the towel. He's ready to give up. He is at the point of death. But something special happens, because rather than give in, he turns to the Lord. And he makes a request in this prayer, and he asks the Lord to revive me according to your word. Now, many of us can seek revival in many different ways. You can seek revival through a bottle, but that's not going to help you. You can seek revival, if you will, through some form of narcotic, but that's not going to help you. After all that wears off, after all is said and done, the only thing that we can turn to is the word of God. Yeah, it's in his word. His word has the ability, has the power to revive our lives, even in the moments of our darkness, even in the moments when we are weary, even in the moments when we are tired. God's word can revive you. God's word can send a light in your darkness. God's word can give you peace that surpasses all understanding. Turn to his word. Yeah, so the Bible doesn't give us, Pastor, what event was taking place in his life. It doesn't tell us about what the situation is, but one thing it does say to us, that all of us are susceptible to some hard times in this life. All of us, there's nobody that's immune from the trials and tribulations of life. But here's the difference. The difference is, what do you do when the challenges come? Do you run or do you stand? Because if you're going to stand, then stand on what you know in God's word. And that's why Job said in Job 14:1, that man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Although the psalmist finds himself in a depressed condition, in his prayer request, he didn't ask for money. He didn't ask for a new car. He didn't ask for more clothes or more fame or a better reputation. He asked for God to revive him according to his word. Yeah. Don't you know that God's word is able to revive us? That the one, according to Genesis 2 and 7, who formed man out of the dust and of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living soul. That same God can breathe, can revive your situation. No matter how dark it seems, God can make a difference in your life. The same God that created us is the same God who has the power to revive us. But then, Pastor, he moves on from depression. He moves on to his depression. He moves on from being destitute to making a declaration. He makes a declaration. He says in verse 26, I have declared my way, and you answered me. Teach me your statutes. The word declared in this text is an accounting term. It means to recount or to rehearse or to count accurately. See, in the NIV translation, it says that I gave an account of my ways. In the New Living Translation, it says, I told you my ways. As children of God, we are accountable to God, who is our Father. We are accountable for all the decisions and choices that we make. But here's what can make it simple. He already knows. There's nothing that we do that takes God by surprise. So you might as well open yourself up and reveal and expose yourself to God, to the one who creates you, to the one who sustains you, to the one who gives you life. Give it all to him. Turn it all over to him. Because this is what happens. When we're able to turn it over to him, at that moment in time is when we are in position to learn from his word. That's why the psalmist says, teach me your statutes. But you can't be taught what you think you already know. Amen. You can't be taught what you already know. So when you expose and reveal yourself and you hold and God holds us accountable, at that moment in time, we are open, we are receptive to receive his word. There's nothing that you and I can say that God doesn't already know. The psalmist says, listen, I have declared my ways, meaning I have gave an account of the course of my life. And guess what? You answered me. Here's one thing to know about prayer. God always hears and answers prayer. He may say yes, he may say no, and he may say wait, but God always answers prayer. Do you know how God can answer prayer? Through his word. That's why we have to study his word. That's why we have to saturate our hearts and minds with his word so that the Holy Spirit can remind us what God has said to us. Do I have a witness in here? He says, I have declared my ways and you answered me. Now I'm in position to be taught. Now I'm in position to learn your statutes. And the only way to be open to God is when we are receptive to his word. He moves on, Pastor, from depression. He moves into declaration. But now the psalmist moves into being distinguished. Look at verse 27. He says, make me understand the way of your precepts so shall I meditate on your wonderful works. He says, make me understand, which literally means to be separated or distinguished mentally. See, the psalmist is longing for a deeper meaning and understanding of God's word so that he knows how to apply God's word to his very situation. Listen, tomorrow or the next day, we are going to walk through some doors where we are going to need God's word. Listen, on your job, it's some folk waiting on you. At the house, it's some folk waiting on you. Amen. And they ain't waiting for something good. That's why it makes sense that we have to saturate our minds with God's word so that we can respond in the way that will give him glory. God's word helps us to glorify him. Amen. And we can't glorify him apart from his word. I don't care how many songs you know. I don't care how many times you come to church. If you don't know this word, then it's safe to say you don't know him. Do you really know him? He says, make me understand the way of your precept. The word precept speaks to having a mandate. The word of God is a mandate on our lives. Yeah. It is a mandate. It's something that you and I are responsible for carrying out. It's our responsibility to live what we know. And the more that you know, the more you can live for him. Amen. Do I have a witness? But then he moves on. And in verse 28, he says that my soul melts with heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Notice right here that the psalmist, after he made a declaration and after he got distinguished, he moves into another situation about his soul. At first, he started out saying that my soul clings to the dust, which speaks to that real deep depression, being at the point of death. But now he identifies his soul again, and that it melts, or that word melts, it stands for dripping, that his soul is dripping with heaviness. That, you know what that says to us? That as soon as you walk through one door and it appears that everything is all right, as soon as you get through one situation, as soon as you run over one hurdle, it's always another hurdle waiting in the wing. Yeah. This life is filled with trials and tribulations. Jesus said, listen, in this world you will have what? Tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And if you and I are in Christ, guess what that makes us? It makes us overcomers. We can overcome any situation that occurs in this life, but we need God's word. Just because we're faithful in coming to church, just because we pay our tithes, just because we sing Zion's song, doesn't mean that trouble won't come. In fact, God allows trouble to come into our lives so that we can draw closer to him. Yeah. He says, my soul melts. And at that point in time in our lives, it's good to know that the word of God can strengthen us. No matter what heartache, no matter what pain that we have to experience in this life, know without a shadow of doubt that the word of God can strengthen you. It can strengthen you. Even in your moments of weakness, even in the moments when you feel like you just can't take another step, the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance what the Lord has said. And when he does that, it empowers us to take that next step and live our lives. The Christian life is to be lived and enjoyed in the word of God. So here we are. He, in verse 29, he says, remove from me the way of lying, and grant me your law graciously. I like the New Living Translation, how it says. It says, keep me from lying to myself. It's a tragedy when you lie to yourself. And you know, there are going to be some experiences in this life that if we don't take account, if we don't approach things the right way, we too can end up lying to ourselves. You could think that you're all that in a bag of chips, but let me tell you, you are lying to yourself. You always focusing on somebody else and not yourself, you're lying to yourself. You always got something to say about somebody, but never nothing good to say about anybody, you're lying to yourself. Do I have a witness in here? He says, keep me from deceiving myself. Keep me from lying to myself. Keep me from doing those things which is displeasing to you. Because listen, God is a holy God, and he cannot be in the presence of any sin. And if we are lying to ourselves, then ultimately we are lying to him. I love that, Pastor, how he says in this verse that remove from me the way of lying. Take it away from me. Remove it. And listen, and grant me. That's a word of permission. Grant me your law graciously. Don't you know it's by God's grace that you and I are here today? Don't you know that it's only God's grace that saved you and I? Amen. It's something about his grace that we don't deserve it, but he blesses us anyhow. You know that you low down and you're trifling, but he blesses you anyhow. As I come to a close, Pastor, I love how the psalmist moves from his depression, and he accounts these experiences that he has in the Word of God. But now at verse 32, he arrives with a new determination. He says that I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. In other words, that I'm going to continue to run this race. No matter what hurdles, no matter what doors I have to go through, I'm going to keep on running through the doors. I'm going to keep on running with your word planted in my heart. I love something, that there's something special about God's word. It can pick you up when you're down. It can hold you closely when nobody else will. It can keep you when you can't keep yourself. I said I love God's word. And what I love most about his word is that his word came down through 40 and two generations. In fact, John 1:14 says that the word became flesh and dwelled among us. That we seen his glory, that the glory of the one and only true Son of God, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. I tell you that I love his word. There's something special about his word. His word came down through 42 generations, healed the sick, provided sight for the blind, heal all manner of diseases. I love his word. His word was taken from judgment hall to judgment hall. He was accused, but they couldn't find no fault with him. They said, crucify him. His word continued to stand. His word was spit on. His word was beaten till he was unrecognizable. That word hung upon old rugged cross. Jesus hung upon Calvary's cross, died on the cross. He was buried in another man's tomb. But early Sunday morning, the word got up. The word declared that all power in heaven and earth is in my hand. Go ahead and walk on through your doors, knowing that you have the blessed assurance that Jesus is with you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. God bless you. No!
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.